our heart that nothing else can. And the Lord uses that. And don't be afraid to say, well, I sang last Sunday, so I'll have to wait a few weeks. I'm getting up about every Sunday too, so that's all right. So I want to encourage you all to keep looking to the Lord to give you songs to share, and the Lord will bless you in that. Burden I have on my heart that God had been dealing with me about this week is entitled, I Will Follow Thee, But. Have you ever had someone tell you that they would do something for you or say, yes, I'll do that, but, and then they start to place conditions on it? If you will turn with me to our text over in Luke in the 9th chapter, I desire your prayers that the Lord would minister to each one of us wherever we are in our experience with God this morning, that we would be moved by the Word. Luke in the 9th chapter will begin reading in the 57th verse. It said, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, certain man came to Jesus and was speaking to Christ, and he said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And if we stopped right there, we would all be very happy for that, wouldn't we? Here is a man that said, I will follow thee wherever you go. And I trust that that is our stated desire this morning as well. Each one of us, that our desire would be that, Lord, I will follow you wherever thou mayest go. And Jesus said, and it seemed like Jesus would be excited, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like here is a man, so many people were rejecting Christ. And now here's a man that voluntarily came up and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I desire to follow you wherever you go. And it seems like Jesus would have been excited and saying, welcome to the group. Welcome to be one of my disciples. Come on, let's go. But that's not how Jesus responded. Jesus said unto the man, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It seemed like Jesus was being a little bit discouraging, wasn't it? It almost sounded like Thomas, who was always throwing cold water on things, you know, doubting Thomas. Here a man comes along and said, Lord, I want to follow you. And Jesus kind of, in essence, he took a step back and said, well, and I'm paraphrasing here, putting this in my own words. It's like, well, that sounds good, but do you know what you're in for? I've had different people before come and say, well, I'd like to go to Africa with you. And I kind of did the same thing Jesus did. I kind of took a step back and said, do you know what you're in for? In other words, it's not just a joyride. It's not just a vacation. Do you mind not having baths and sleeping with bugs and all other kinds of things and mosquitoes and maybe getting sick and maybe dying? If you want to do that, then come on. Do you know Jesus seemed like, well, he should have been a little bit more enthusiastic about it. But Jesus wanted the man to make an informed decision. You know, before someone goes into surgery, generally speaking, it's my understanding, by law, legally, the surgeons will set you down and they'll go through all of the things that could happen. If you're going to go into this surgery, we want you to know what the risks are. Even for non-invasive surgeries, they will tell you all of these risks, and a lot of times they'll end up saying, and you could die. In other words, they want you to know the worst case scenario. If you go into this surgery, we want you to make an informed consent and sign on the line that says, I understand the risk. So you're not liable if something goes wrong. That's what Jesus was doing. The man came on and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus said, do you know that I don't even have a place to sleep regularly at night? In other words, it's kind of rough. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be some sacrifice involved. If you're going to follow me, it's not just people talk about preachers. It's all about what? Chicken dinners? You know, I found that's not true. But do you know that that's what Jesus was saying? If you're going to follow me, and he wasn't just talking to the preachers now. He was talking to all of us. He said, if you're going to follow me, know that there's going to be some sacrifice involved in it. Understand that there's going to be some times that things aren't going to be real pleasant if you're going to follow me. And we find that another man came. Let's continue reading. And he said unto another, now Jesus gave this call and he said, follow me. And the man said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Sounds like a pretty good request, doesn't it? And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee. It's kind of like these people are starting to pop up all around. And another one said, well, Lord, I'll follow you. It sounds good, but he said, let me first go. I plan to follow you now. Don't go anywhere, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know that this passage of Scripture is contrary to what the religious world is teaching and promoting today? If we're going to follow Jesus, and we've looked at this through the last couple of months, but if we follow Jesus, there's going to be a price involved in it. And it was an expression, this first man that said, Lord, I will follow you. It was an expression of a desire that he had in his heart. And we live in a time, I trust that all of us here, and I know many people even out in the world, would express the desire that, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to go where you want me to go. And it seems like Jesus did a little bit to discourage the man. Does it seem that way? It seems like you ought to just be excited about it. But I want us to understand that Jesus did not package the gospel to try to necessarily just make it appealing to everything in the flesh. There was a cost involved. And folks, we could repackage the gospel message this morning and we could have more folks come in the congregation today. We could repackage it. Just follow the Lord and that's all there is to it and go live like you want to live. But folks, if we live after the things of the flesh, it's never going to bring us into the place of victory in our soul with God. The Lord is interested in us being victorious this morning. The Lord is interested in us having that abiding peace that Brother Randy testified about today. That only comes when we are willing to put the Lord first at the sacrifice of our flesh and say, Lord, I am willing and I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus did not repackage the gospel, but he wanted them to know, if you're going to follow me, he said, know that I don't have a place to lay my head. There's going to be some inconveniences in following the Lord. There's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be a cost. I think about a while back, we refinanced our house. And when we first got our house, there was absolutely no charge to get that loan. Because the bank wanted our business. And we didn't have to pay all the fees that are normally added on there. And so they just gave it to us, and usually you add all those fees and it comes to thousands of dollars sometimes. We didn't have that 3.5 years ago when we first bought our house because he wanted the business. And he told me, he said, if you ever want to refinance, he said, come to our bank, and he said, we won't charge you a dime to refinance. All we'll do is the principal amount that you're getting a loan for. We won't charge you anything. And that didn't sound right to me. And I said, you're telling me that you won't charge me anything. And he said, no, we won't. Well, guess what? He told me, he acted like they still wouldn't charge. And at the last minute, he said, well, now you know that things aren't like they used to be. And I said, so are you telling me there's going to be a cost? Yes. Yeah, we're going to have to charge you so much. We got to the closing and the banker didn't show up. I wasn't very happy. I sat down there and they started going over the paperwork and I started looking at it. I kind of looked at Renee and I was this close to getting up and walking out, and maybe I should. I went ahead and refinanced. But he tried to make it sound like it was better than what it really was. It's kind of like you go buy a car or buy something. Salesmen, and no offense to any salesman, but they will try to make things sound as good as they can. And they'll get you in there to where you're just about ready to sign it. And then they'll slip that other piece. And there's this little cost over here. Just a little fee here. And pretty soon you're thinking, this is a lot more than what you said. Well, it just cost $5,000. Why is it costing $6,500 now? Well, these were just little extra things. It wasn't a lot. They're packaging it in a way to make it look attractive, and it's deceptive. I would much rather go shop for someone that will look me in the eye and say it's $10,000 than for someone to tell me it's $8,000 and it end up being $10,000. To me, that's not honest. I want someone to deal with me and tell me what the cost is, tell me what the fees are. I don't want someone deceiving me. This is why Jesus said what he did. He wasn't trying to get people to follow him, making us think that everything was going to be a bed of roses if we followed him. But he wanted us to know that if you follow me, there's going to be a cost. There is going to be some sacrifice. This is why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That was a condition to following the Lord. How many churches would be full this morning if this were the message that were being promoted on a consistent basis among people professing Christianity? But what the world is saying is, if you serve the Lord, there's healing. If you serve the Lord, you'll get the next promotion. If you serve the Lord, it's our time for the wealth of this world. Health, wealth, and if you follow the Lord. Folks, some of those things do come sometimes in serving the Lord. But there's also a cross involved. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, I want you to know what you're doing. I don't want to come under false pretenses and say, if you follow me, everybody's going to treat you right. You won't ever have any marriage difficulties. You won't have any financial difficulties. You won't have any problems. Everything just can go smoothly if you'll just give your heart to God. That's not what he said. He said, no, that there's a cross. And if you follow me, he said, the condition was deny yourself. Why do we have to deny ourselves to follow the Lord? It's because God's way is so much better than our way this morning. God has an insight into how things will affect us. The Lord is interested in getting us to heaven this morning, folks. The Lord is interested in our soul. But the only way we're going to be able to get there is if we're willing to do it God's way. And he said, deny your own affections. It means when we follow the Lord, there's going to be some things that we like to do that we're going to have to give up. Say, but why can't I have it both? Because somewhere along the line, our affections for other things are going to come in conflict with God's expressed desire for our life. That doesn't mean we just give up everything and say, well, Lord, I'm not going to work anymore and I'm not going to have any hobbies. That's not what the Lord was saying. But what he was promoting was there is a place of denial if you're going to follow me. And I want you to place all of your affections and your desires and your dreams and your plans while you have them. I want you to place them on the altar and deny yourself of those things that come in conflict with the relationship that I want you to have. I will say that following the Lord is a wonderful way to live. I have found, and again, pointing back to Brother Randy's testimony, I have found the presence of the Lord so sweet in trials of life. I have found it so rich during all kinds of difficulties that we all face in life. I have found the presence of the Lord far outweighs those things that I had to deny myself in. Let's not be guilty of trying to repackage the gospel, folks. Jesus didn't do it. He was up front with them and said, if you're going to follow me, he said, know that you're going to have to leave some things behind you to come and work for me. Jesus wanted them to make an informed decision. He went on to this second man that came and said, Lord, I'll follow you. Jesus called him. Jesus spoke to him and he said to follow me. And the man said, let me first go and bury my father. Do you think Jesus didn't want the man to go to a funeral? You think that's what this was about? It's my understanding that in this passage of Scripture that when he said, let me go bury my father, most likely the man's father wasn't even dead yet. And his father was probably up in age, and so he's saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but let me first go and wait until my father passes away, and I can take care of the estate, take care of all those things, and then I will come and follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. The point that Jesus was making was he wasn't teaching us to neglect our elderly parents. The scripture teaches contrary to that. He was teaching, rather he was saying, you need to put me first in your life. Don't allow the lawful thing, you notice I said lawful? Things that aren't sinful. Don't allow the lawful things of life, whether it be family, whether it be jobs, whether it be hobbies, do not allow those things to come in between the work that I have for you to do. He said, let the dead bury the dead. When your father dies, he'll be taken care of. But I have a job for you to do first. And I want you to come and follow me. I told my boy, we were talking even this week, I believe in worship with the boys. I told him, I said, every decision that you make, most of the major decisions you make in life are going to affect your relationship with God. Where you go to college, it makes a difference. One thing, and I don't know how everything's going to turn out yet, but I think it's important. When someone begins to make plans, it's good to be where you can go to service. Because you get outside, you get to a place where there's not a church, there's going to be a price to pay. Because it's going to affect your relationship with God. So it means then whether you're going to school or whether you're moving for a job, it is worthwhile to consider your soul. It's worthwhile to consider where will I be able to attend service? Will my soul be fed? Will I be in a place that I can be encouraged and challenged in my relationship with God? Because that affects our life. Who we marry, that affects us, doesn't it? Everybody that's married can say it sure does. Who we are married to affects our relationship with God. And I told the boys, I said it would be better to go through life single than to marry someone that's devotion and purpose in life is not to please God. Because it will wear on them. It did Solomon. A wise man, the scripture said, in his old age, his heart was turned away from God because of what? Because of his wives. In other words, it didn't happen overnight, but through time, you've heard the saying, a dripping faucet will put a hole in a rock. Just that little dribble, that little drop of water, year after year after year, will put a hole in a rock. It's why when who we choose to get married to is vital and it will affect our relationship with God. So our purpose then this morning should be when we say, Lord, I'll follow you. It should be recognizing that every decision and choice we make, it's going to affect our relationship with God. And that's what Jesus was communicating. Don't allow even the lawful things in life to hinder us from doing the work that God has for us to do. He went on then, and another man spoke up, and he said, Lord, I'll follow you. That sounded good. But listen to what he said, I will follow thee, but. Do we do that with God sometimes? You answer it for yourself. Lord, my desire and my purpose is to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do, Lord, but I need some more time. But let me take care of this first, and then I'll do what you want me to do. Isn't that so human? Isn't that so human? I will follow thee, but. He said, let me first go home and bid them farewell. The essence of this scripture is, let me first go home and I want to tell everybody what I plan to do. And I'm going to go seek some counsel. And I'm going to go seek some advice. Folks, if we know what God's will is, why do we need to go seek counsel? You understand? There's a place to pray that the Lord would empower us and enable us to do His will. But if I know what God has called me to do, then why do I need to go and seek counsel, especially from people that might discourage me from doing it? Has anybody ever discouraged you from doing what you knew God wanted you to do? That's why Jesus said, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you're going to follow me, then don't just desire it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just think about it. Do it. That's what the Lord wants of us this morning. Wherever we are in our relationship with God, the Lord doesn't want us to say, Lord, I will follow thee. It's a good desire. But folks, our desires will not get us to heaven this morning. Our desires, independent of obedience, will not bring the victory that the Lord has for us. He said, let me go and first bid them farewell. Let me seek counsel and let me consult with somebody else. The Lord wants us to follow Him and His Word regardless of what everybody else around us is doing. He said, well, you're holding a little bit hard on yourself. I don't need to do that. What does the Lord want us to do? How does the Lord want us to live? Folks, that's what's important this morning. You don't have to live to please me. You don't have to live to meet what the congregation thinks. You don't. You're not going to answer to me at the judgment. But I want us to know, we, each one of us, we are going to answer to God. And that is why God wants us to know this morning, I believe He appreciates our desire, and we say, Lord, I'll follow Thee. But too often, we add this word on the knee. Lord, I'll follow You, but I'd like to do it my own way. I'd like to do and kind of couple it with some other things that I like to do. I am not quite willing, Lord, to give this up. And so, Lord, I still intend and I'm still motivated to follow You. And we take comfort in that desire, don't we? Doesn't it make us feel kind of warm that the Lord's pleased with me? Because I really, Lord, I will follow Thee. But if we go on and begin to make exceptions, we begin to put addendums on it. We begin to say, but. Scripture says in Isaiah 1:19, it said, if ye be willing, what's the next part? And obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Folks, it's not enough for us just to say, I desire to follow You, Lord. I will follow Thee, Lord. That's my heart. But folks, we must be willing and obedient to take up our cross, to deny ourselves of those things that interfere in our relationship with God. So as we come down to this very personally this morning, and I can't answer this for anybody else, are there things in our life that have been hindering us in our relationship with God? Are there places in our life that we have been making decisions based on some other affections that we have, that have been putting God's work that He has for us a little bit second place? Let's not take consolation in our stated desire that, Lord, I will follow Thee in and of itself. But where there is victory and where there is peace, folks, it's when we come to the place that says, Lord, I will follow Thee. That's my desire, but now I'm going to do it. Lord, I'll do what You want me to do. But when we begin to place reservations and start adding the caveats to our commitment to the Lord, those are the things that are going to hinder us from experiencing the blessings that God has for us. Folks, I am glad that the Lord did not try to pull the wool over our eyes. Aren't you? Because if He would have, I would have given up a long time ago. I'll confess. I said, Lord, I'm saved and I love You and this happened. Seemed like if I was doing right, that wouldn't happen, so there must not be anything to this. No, Jesus, it was informed consent. He said, follow me, but no, there's still going to be trials. There's still going to be battles. There's still going to be some hard things you're going to face. But if you'll follow me, folks, that's the road to heaven. That's the road to victory this morning. This is the reason why Jesus entreated the young rich ruler that came to Him, saying, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And He said, go and sell everything you have. How many of you would be willing to do that? You don't have to answer me. But how many of us would be willing this morning to literally go and sell our house if you have one, sell your car if you have one, sell everything that you have and hold dear to you and say, Lord, I'm going to follow You. Do you know that that is the consecration that the Lord wants? The Lord hasn't told me to go sell my car. But you know what? If He did, by the grace of God, I would do it.
And it's easy to give up if you don't care for it anyway. I mean, you may have a vehicle, it's like, I could care less, and I have one of those. I have a couple of them, actually. It's no big deal to me. It wouldn't be that much of a sacrifice. It's just a car. But do you know when it comes down to something that you love, something that you enjoy, something that's special to you, and the Lord comes along and says, I want you to give that up because it's hindering your relationship. Let's not do what this man said, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but let's just say, Lord, I'm yours. Lead me, direct me. The song said, where he leads me, I will follow. So I want to challenge, encourage you this morning. Let's follow the Lord. Do you have any conditions on your consecration? Any conditions on our fellowship that we have with the Lord? Those are the areas that God's calling for this morning. I believe that the Lord has greater victories for all of us. And I believe that there are things that God wants to do in our life. There are people that struggle with having victory in their life. And I think this is one of the reasons. Because they're saying, Lord, I will follow thee, but I have some other things I want to do in addition. And so this is why the scripture teaches us to count the cost. Count the cost. We don't just rashly say, yes, I'll raise my hand and say I give my heart to the Lord. Do you realize that those kind, if you want to even call it a conversion, they don't last very long usually? And the reason is because when I'm being moved by emotion, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I'll follow you, Lord. But when we really follow the Lord is when we lay everything else down and say, Lord, I submit my life into your hands. The Lord wants us to follow him. I don't want anybody to be discouraged this morning, but I also want us to know that there is a cost. And there is a price, because everything, usually anything worth having, costs something, doesn't it? Salvation's the same way. If you want the victory and you want the peace, we're going to have to do it God's way. And he'll be faithful to enable us to do it when we surrender our life to him. Amen.